Teve no tempo que o corpo pobre é sua alma cansada, que nada se afunda no chão. E no escuro, se baixado capucho, chorando no nicho, capacho do lixo, caprichos não mais voltarão. Já ouvi o tempo que o tempo parou de passar, e o tal de moçapes não soube disso aproveitar. Chorando, sorrindo, falando em calar, pensando em pensar quando o tempo parar de passar. Assim o tempo, no tempo que o corpo do homem pudesse, sua alma cansada, que nada se afunda no chão. E bruxo do luxo, baixado capucho, chorando no lixo, capacho do lixo, caprichos não mais voltarão. Mas entre lágrimas você se achar e pensar que está a chorar. Esse era o tempo em que o tempo.
I cannot stress how much of a bargain this is, Boyle. Simon and Garfunkel, it's called All the Bloody Albums.
Oh, key change.
Hang on. Oh. I just love that. I'm obsessed with that song.
Paul Simon on his mini moto.
I don't know what it's about, Baby Driver. It's probably either a sexual or a drugular reference, I'm guessing.
I wonder how your engines feel.
It's got to be, is that bosoms? Could that be bosoms?
You have to stand on a step.
Anyway, so I got all of, it's called the complete, All the Bloody Albums, Simon and Garfunkel. It's a box
called
set.
That, is it?
Yeah, it's 13 albums, one of them's a double.
Oh.
Hang on, 11 albums.
Right, don't matter, just...
One of them's a double. £33, the Periscopers, you can look at it there.
Listen...
£33.
Are you working...
Simon and Garfunkel, All the Bloody Albums.
£33. Are you working for Telstar or something? What's going
Telstar.
On
Telstar. I can't under... And the thing is, it's packaged beautifully, right? Mm. You get a book with it. It's all the album. Now, here's the thing, guys. The significant number of Simon and Garfunkel album tracks are absolute stinkers. Real, you know, the early stuff when they were just, they didn't know what, but who knows what, and this album isn't here. So for completists, it's incomplete. What was the album that they recorded before they were Simon & Garfunkel? What was the name of the act?
Paul and Al?
No, 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 no. Al?
Well, call me Al.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Garfunkel.
They were originally known as Tom and Jerry, and they recorded an album as Tom and Jerry.
Did they?
Isn't that...
Gosh, that's very...
Stupid. The way the show works, guys, it's a phoning show. There's no topics. 03459 455 555. You phone us up. You'll speak to Jen on the phones. She will call you back. We've had a couple of people saying, oh, I'm in Australia. Well, if you email me your phone number aboard, I'll give you a call. But if you call in, you speak to Jen, she'll call you back. As soon as you can hear me and Kath on the phone, odds are you're on the air, just chip in. And if we don't hear you, it means I've just not noticed you on my screen. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes. But so that's been my bargain of the week, has been the concert in Central Park. It's a very naughty concert. Lots of references to Jay's, not Jay-Z. Lots of very naughty drugular references.
Gosh.
Got to dig those, guys. So today I'm going to do something I've never, ever done. I've never done it. 42 years, I've never done it.
What are you going to do?
Right, I'm going to go right up to the local supermarket.
Yeah.
And I'm going to buy what can only be described as fireworks. I've never bought a firework. I've never lit a firework beyond a sparkler. Yet I am going to buy and light fireworks.
Things you need in addition to those fireworks. I hope you've got this.
Yep, got the children.
That's... They'll be bored within 2 minutes anyway, so don't count them. Yeah, because it'd be rubbish.
Well, I've told them... The thing is, where we live next to a very large theme park, and we get their fireworks displays for free, because we can go and stand... We don't even have to stand in the back garden. So we get that, and I've said to the boys... If we buy fireworks, they will be rubbish. Mm-hmm. But then
that's part of the joy.
I saw a nice video of them at their grandparents, and they had like a couple of fireworks, and they were over the moon.
Oh, so it's competition.
Oh.
So you're trying to win them back.
Isn't life a competition?
You can never win them back.
Well, now that I'm not taking my eldest to see Star Wars: The Force Awakens, he's going with his mates, and it's not. I've realised what it is. I'm genuinely upset he's going with his mates. Okay, right. I'm genuinely upset he's going to see it without me. Right, but it's not his mates I'm worried about. There are five other dads going.
Oh.
You see, there are five other dads going to supervise the...
Of course.
I can't go because it's 9:45 in the morning on a Friday. I'll be doing the rubbish in the week. That's what it is.
You can leave 10 minutes early.
Other dads will be sharing the experience that I should be involved in.
Right, OK, so you're going to counteract this with gunpowder.
Gunpowder, treason, and indeed, plot.
Right, you also need a torch. Have you got a torch?
I've got it on my phone. You can do it on your phone.
Right,
now,
yeah, OK,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. You also need a biscuit tin to keep them in.
Oh, for crying out loud. What is this? The 1970s?
Yes, you have to go back to the 1970s to
light
fireworks.
No, I'll put them in a plastic bag. We can put the matches in there as well.
No.
When has a match ever spontaneously sparked up? Never.
In those films we used to watch when we were kids. They happened all the time.
The only film of those I remember about the fireworks was the young lady who picked up a sparkler after she dropped it. Next day at school, she got her hand all bandaged up like a mummy.
I got a sparkler in the face once. Kid hit me with it.
Oh, it's not a euphemism.
No.
It's not gay man's winkle. Oh, look at my sparkler. Don't touch that end.
Anyway, it burnt.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But not badly. I'm not scarred for life. But, you know, it was nasty. So, you know, these accidents can happen. So don't joke around with fireworks, young man.
Well, what I need is some string, and I need someone to hold the cat down.
What? What's the string for?
Tie fireworks to a tail.
Oh, no.
Come on!
That's
not even worth joking about, Catherine. Shame on you. So I'm going to buy them. Mm-hmm. They're expensive, though,
aren't
they?
Yeah, they're quite dear. And, you know, and they'll be disappointing.
But I'm going to feel like I don't think they will be disappointing.
Yeah, they will.
No. One of the greatest memories of one of my earliest memories, right, is standing in the back garden on the Britwell Estate. Cold night. The Bowdens were around. Bernard and his wife Margaret.
Oh, the Bowdens.
And their children Sarah and Andrew Bowden were around. And my dad lighting fireworks. And I'm pretty sure my dad was lighting fireworks by using the end of his rollie.
Sounds like your dad.
He was using his rollie and he was... And for the next...
There's something about fireworks that makes a geezer, even more geezerish.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. For the next... that was at the age of five. We moved there when I was 11. So for the next 6 years, and when we went there recently, I had a little look, see if it was still there, it was gone. For the next 6 years, a burnt Catherine wheel, spent Catherine wheel, was attached to the fence. That never came down. Oh. That never came down. One of the most exciting evenings of my flipping life.
Well, this is what my dad's tried to recreate with my kids ever since, but they, well, at first, they just didn't like it and sat in the other room with the curtains drawn. And now they'll sort of have a look out the window now and again, but they get bored quite easily. Because those fireworks are usually rubbish and they're expensive.
I know, I'll be honest, I'm doing it primarily for
you.
Myself.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Exactly.
I want to feel the power of, the power of, I don't know what, explosives in my hand. Yeah, I want to be responsible for that.
It's the man fire thing.
I think generally fireworks are rubbish. Mm. You know, we never see a big firework display. Yeah, whatever. It's like the New Year's fireworks. You know what? Why don't you just give everyone who lives in London 20 quid? Just give them a 20 quid, 20 quid book token or something. Yeah. That'd be better than fireworks. I just think it's a waste of money.
It is. It's very decadent, isn't it?
Could you, if I had terrorist tendencies, right?
Oh, no, don't give them ideas.
They've got...
Don't give them any more ideas.
But I mean, I nearly said Aswad. It's not Aswad, is it? It's ISIS.
Not yet.
Aswad. If someone can work out an acronym for Aswad that involves, well...
Yes.
I can, actually. The S jumps out at me, and so does the W, and so does the D, and the second A. So it's quite a rude one. I don't think ISIS are going to be listening to BBC local radio going, oh, flip it, we hadn't thought of that. Yeah, there's explosives in them fireworks. But if I wanted to make an actual bomb, right...
Stop.
What? I'm not telling anyone how to do it.
You're exactly telling them how to do it.
Could I do it with firework gunpowder, treason and plot? I don't understand how fertiliser is. Because if you see someone... If you see someone who you think looks a bit dodgy, brackets, might be a Muslim, buying a load of fertiliser, you're supposed to report it. That's a fact.
But they might be a gardener.
Yeah. But I don't...
Who happens to look dodgy.
Yeah, well, or happens to be Asian. Are they saying Asian people don't garden? I don't know. But you're supposed to. You're actually supposed to.
I think the quantities required are enormous.
Well, but how much fertiliser would you need? And what do you do with the fertiliser? Maybe let's not have that bit of the conversation on air. But I've never worked out... 03459 455 555. Don't tell me how to make a bomb. But I've never understood what's explosive in fertiliser. What is the...
No, that's why they have to go and find manuals online, and that's where you get them.
Well, now you've just told them to go and ask Jeeves. You just to go and ask Jeeves how to make a bomb.
No, but what I mean is, as soon as they log onto those sites, boom, the authorities are alerted.
Boom, literally.
Well, yeah.
Well, you do hear... you've got to be rather stupid, haven't you? You heard of the dark web, and we played around on the dark web once. You remember I downloaded Tor, the Onion Ring, I think it is, or something, and it's where you go on the dark web, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have a little look in the dark web, because the BBC 5 Live, Derbyshire was banging on about
it. She was telling us how to do it,
Derbyshire told us how to do it, right? So I went on the dark web, but I must have been on the wrong bit of the dark web, because it was powered by Google.
You're on the beige web.
Such a twit.
You get knitting patterns and stuff.
But I couldn't understand the dark web. I couldn't find... I did type in, I would like to buy guns. I did! And I couldn't find how to buy guns, right? But you've got to be flipping stupid, right, to go online in any capacity...
Ian?
Hello?
You need take some notice in your chemistry lessons. Did you?
I took very, very little notice. Go on.
All right. Sodium chlorate is an oxidising agent, and that's what's in weed killer.
Right.
And, you know, back in the old days... we used to use that, but they've added something into it now, so it's nowhere near as good at doing what.
As good. I love the way. I love. Oh, is this Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right, Tony. I love the way that you're speaking in a very conspiratorial voice. This is and wow. On the eve. Listen, all you blooming, all you Muslim terrorists, the ISIS and all that lot. Guy Fawkes. I know he's Spanish. Guy Fawkes. That's how we used to do it.
Is he Spanish?
Yeah, Guido Fawkes.
No, he wasn't Spanish.
Yeah, he was Spanish, wasn't he, Tony?
I think so.
Yeah, Guido Fawkes.
Nah.
Yeah.
Are you? Oh, look, we've just touched the nerve. Did you Googling?
I'm Googling.
We touched
the
nerve because you are totally kissing up to Spain, and you didn't know that Guy Fawkes was a Spaniard.
I knew that he'd lived out there for a while because he was a rebel, and that's where they went to learn their stuff. Hang on.
By the way, can I just say, I have to say this because someone will come in. When I say all you Muslim terrorists, I'm speaking specifically of ISIS. I'm not speaking of all Muslim people. I feel I have to say that because that's the kind of world we live in today, where we have to clear up those things before some.
Right, that's the name he adopted while fighting for the Spanish. He wasn't Spanish, but yeah.
Where
on.
Was it? Where? Hang on a second. Hang on a second, Tony, because now she's annoying me. Well, where was he born?
He was born in...
I've got a book called Gunpowder Treason and Plot somewhere.
Yeah. York.
Yeah, York in Spain. Now, episode one, we have a maths lesson. Episode four, we're having history and science lessons. Mm-hmm. So they took out the... Did you ever make bombs in school then, in chemistry?
Yeah, and out of school as well.
Yeah. I remember trying, because chemistry kit... Can you still get chemistry kits for kids?
Yeah.
Do kids still use chemistry kits? Because I used
to
love
them
with a little test tube in the... And all we used to do with those things was try and make stink bombs or explosive bombs.
That's the one, yeah.
And that's it. And now the thing is, you're right, kids have got the internet now, so they can learn how to make a proper bang-bang.
Trouble is, you need the context as well. It's no good just looking for a description, because you've got to understand it as well. And that's where the theory and the lessons and all those interesting things that we did at school that isn't necessarily available on Google.
Wasn't as interesting as me punching Paul Reese and being made to stand outside of those lessons. That was interesting.
And it wasn't as interesting as Katie setting the wall on fire with all the posters and stuff because the Bunsen burner was too close. Yeah, we all had to vacate. It was brilliant.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, flipping heck.
Bunsen burners.
We didn't have anything like that, although if one of the... with no names, no pack drill, one of the people I've already mentioned on the show today did punch the physics teacher, Mr. Pugh. And then we all made a joke about Beat the Teacher, which was a TV show at the time.
Yeah.
But that one of the people, I won't say his name again, but one of the people I've already mentioned punched Mr. Pugh.
Don't punch Mr. Pugh, kids.
No, Mr. Pugh, kids.
We didn't have a Mr. Pugh, but somebody threw a slipper at the back of our geography master. I can't remember his name offhand.
On that bombshell. Thank you, Tony. 03459 455 555.
In my class, someone had a plastic poo, and they put it on the teacher's desk. And to be honest, I think she was already of delicate health, and she went absolutely bananas.
We, a history teacher had a nervous breakdown because of a couple of years above me, but we all celebrated.
Isn't it awful?
We celebrated. This poor, poor human being had a nervous breakdown. I think I was at the school at the time, but it was a couple of years ahead of us, and we all celebrated.
Yeah. This was the same teacher, not yours, but the same teacher with the plastic poo who thought someone had managed to actually do one on her desk.
Yeah.
Thought we'd locked her in the cupboard. We'd put a bit of sellotape across the cupboard.
Yeah.
She made out she couldn't get out.
Who, the teacher?
Mm. That's what I mean, delicate.
Well, we had
she was hanging
teacher.
By a thread for a long time.
Then we had the German teacher... he was on very delicate ground anyway. I'm not celebrating any of this at all.
No,
I'm full
of
shame.
Back and you think this is awful.
He was delicate anyway, right? He was delicate. He came to a very troubled, bitter German class. Thank you. You're welcome. No, we were bitter. You're welcome. No, we were bitter. Bitter. And he came along. And he was on very thin ice anyway. Then I got tricked
Kids
by
have got a radar for that, haven't they?
Oh, they have. Then I got tricked by my friend Paul Francis into going to a rock concert. And I should have been curious. A rock concert at the Montem Sports Centre.
Mm.
It turned out that it was a Christian rock concert. Right? So I was sat there listening to this Christian rock, right? And then there was a figure like doing really crazy dancing down the front, the arms all over the place. I went... Oh, flipping it. It was the German teacher. Oi, oi, oi. We used that to destroy that poor soul. He didn't stand a chance anymore.
Do you remember the days when the student teacher would be left to teach you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And honestly, the whole class, as she walked through the door, there was this one. Oh, gosh. Poor girl. She must have been about 22. Hiya. Everyone sat back in their chairs like this, like, here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not I'm ashamed of this. I'm ashamed of... Do you know, also, I was kind of in the middle of the bullying chain as well. I got bullied a bit by a guy who's now a multimillionaire. He produced one of the great British films of the last 10 years. And boy, oh, boy, was I pleased to see he's gone on to great success. But then I bullied people. I bullied this kid, right? He was a northerner and he came to our school, right?
Oh.
And he was an ice skater.
Oh.
Tore him apart.
This is one of my brethren.
Yeah, totally.
New Kid Northern, that was me. Bullied
and his
me.
His nickname, I have no idea why his nickname was this, David, but we called him Jesse Segrist. I don't even know what that means. We destroyed, yeah. I destroyed him. I'm ashamed of myself. There's other. Yes, David!
Yeah, right. Well, you were talking about fireworks.
Are you underwater, David?
No, but my phone plays up sometimes.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's
very
muffled.
Very bubbly.
Bubbly, yeah. Very. She's right, that's a good word, bubbly.
Right, hold on, I'll tap it.
Go on, give it a bang. Hard.
Is that any better?
Now it's muddly. let's see if we can get to the... Let's try it.
What's that?
Hello?
Say your thing.
Well, I can hear myself on the radio. I've got the radio slightly on.
Turn the radio... Oh, flipping out, David. Turn the radio off, buddy.
Yeah.
And then just take your mouth ever so slightly away from the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And then let's try it.
I'll do it then.
Absolutely awful. David, try again in a little bit, all right? Because we can't hear a word you're saying. And while he's trying, let's have a little bit of this. Super Furry Animals. I thought you would know about the Super Furry Animals.
No, do you know what?
You played us a Gruff Rhys song the other day.
Yeah, I know about him, but only just.
Oh, okay.
But Super Furry Animals, I wasn't cool enough to like them.
They're good Welsh, isn't it? What? I don't think there are any other Welsh famous singers. Oh,
yeah,
hang
there
on,
are.
There's loads.
Tom Jones, Shirley Bassey. What?
Celine Dion.
No.
William Shatner.
No.
And Mike Myers.
You know Kylie Minogue's a bit Welsh. Fact.
Is it? No.
I should be so lucky, isn't it?
Are there any famous Welsh bands?
Yes, yeah, Stereophonics, unfortunately.
Oh, flip it. Did that fella die from the Stereophonics? The one with the bubble cut?
I don't know.
You know the one with the bubble cut? The drummer?
Ever see the first.
Stuart Cable?
No, I don't know.
They had a crazy drummer. And I think, have I got this right, guys? They had a crazy drummer, right? It was a little bit of a character. He had a big tight perm, right? And then they booted him out. I think he may be dead.
You're not confusing this with the Mannix, are you?
No. The fellow that's disappeared. Mm. Yeah, no. I'm not. No. I'm sure. Any other Welsh?
Yeah, Catatonia.
Oh, all right, all of them. The Super Furry Animals, Catatonia, Stereophonics, middling, very middling. You know what I mean? They're not huge.
I used to like Catatonia.
Oh, I like them. Good band.
Mm-hmm.
But they're middling. They're not a star, are they?
No, and they got aggravating because they got played too much.
Yeah. David, we're trying you again. How's that?
I don't know. Is it sounding okay or not?
Well, I think I can endure it.
We can endure it. What have you got for us, boss?
Well, you're talking about the fireworks.
Yeah.
Can you still get bangers?
Well, Kath's... hang on a minute. Give me 20 seconds. Can you still get bangers? Kath's got a couple of bangers? No. Yeah. No. I'm trying to make a joke.
About my bosoms. Everyone, Kath's bangers.
By the way, if you started a sausage sandwich shop, Kath's bangers, I would come every single day to have a go on Kath's bangers. Seriously, oh, I'd be beautiful.
Gosh,
beautiful. Yeah, well, I don't know what is a banger.
Sausage, cheap sausage.
No, in terms of fireworks, you plum.
So one that goes bang.
Yeah, it just goes off bang.
Yeah, you can get bangers.
Yes, you can, David. I hope that helps.
All I'm saying is. I need it for my Canon.
Okie dokie.
Is this real?
He needs it for his Canon? Really? I don't get how... do you know what? I've only just dawned on me about Canons, right? Because I went to Windsor Castle the other day. Took the youngest to Windsor Castle, right? And the Canons, right? Do you know
Canon.
What? Canons?
No. Canon.
Cannons?
No. Nope.
The plural of cannon is not cannon.
It is.
Is it? Get out of here!
It's like sheep. It's one of them.
It's horses they put donkeys in with.
What? To they don't...
They put donkeys in a field of horses to keep the horses... They put one donkey to keep the horses calm.
What, stop horses from rampaging?
Yeah, your horses can go...
Horses are flipping docile.
Horses go absolutely flipping nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Canon.
Anyway, I think we might have travel. I'm not totally sure. Let's see what happens if I press this.
Travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Good afternoon. Northbound M1 looking very busy at the moment between Junction 7 at Hemel Hempstead and 12 at Flitwick. Also the M25 very slow anti-clockwise Junction 20 at Kings Langley to 16 for the M40. M40 itself northbound looking busy between Oxford Services at Junction 8A and Junction 10 at Brackley. Busy still around St Albans. We've still got London Road closed in both directions. It follows a serious police incident between the High Street and Watson's Walk. And on the trains, reduced service on Thames Link between Blackfriars and St Albans, and that's all due to emergency engineering works between Radlett and St Albans. Gary King, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Thank you very much indeed. I've got all the wrong... Hang on, let me play this.
Cross Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is Justin Dealey.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
This is what I meant to play. Here we go.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bugs.
Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle.
On BBC Three Counties Radio.
So we've learnt... So this is like proper education.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because of me.
I don't like the fact that I'm the one wearing the dunce's cap. Oh, gosh. That was a close call. Flipping heck. That was close.
Careful.
The plural of cannons is cannon.
Well, it's cannon if you want to sound good, but you can say cannons if you want.
I'll just judge you. I did not know, right. Basically, you know the cannonball?
Yeah.
That's all it is a ball.
Yeah, no, but it's flipping heavy.
Yeah, it's just a heavy metal ball. There's no explosives in it.
No,
so the cannonball hits, like, it will hit a pirate ship or, like, a castle.
But goes straight through, take your legs off and everything.
But it doesn't, it's not an explosive.
No.
So I kind of thought the ball would hit and then it would like, explode.
No.
Those guys were stupid in the old days.
But you know, loose cannon. You know what that's about.
David and Hitchin.
That's
we heard there's been an incident in Hitchin. It's not David and his loose cannon, is it?
Well, you know on boats...
I've had loose cannonballs.
You know... Right, imagine a boat.
This show can't continue.
Or indeed a ship, right?
I do know them, yeah. What's the difference?
You fire your cannon off, bigness.
Is it?
Bigotry.
Is it just size?
I think so. But you know they call submarines boats as well.
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah, I did know that.
Anyway, so you fire your cannonball U-boats. Off. Yeah. You fire your... Das Boot. You fire your cannonball off. Mm. And if your cannon goes rolling round the ship, that can also kill people. And smash your ship up.
Who's that? I think I can hear somebody who's on a ship with a cannonball rolling all over the place.
And thinks it's amusing.
Letting the kids play with it and go, Oi! Leave that blooming cannonball alone! You'll kill us! You'll kill us all! Who is that?
It's Liz.
Hello, Liz, you alright?
Yes, I'm fine. I just want to ask you a question, Ian.
Yeah, go on then.
Are you going to buy some fireworks?
Yes, what, have you got some for sale? I'm probably going to buy them from a reputable retailer.
What are you going to do with your puppy when it poops all over the house because it's so nervous?
Do you know what? The puppy poops all over the house anyway because we cannot toilet train the little so-and-so. She doesn't poop. She doesn't poop now.
It's going to poop a lot more.
Well, she'll eat it. That's what we'll do.
Oh.
Because the cat is living up in my bedroom, basically, now. My bedroom and the bathroom, the ensuite. Oh. So we've got a litter tray now for the cat, right?
What, in your bedroom?
In the bathroom, yeah. And the cat, the dog got into the bathroom, Liz.
Yeah.
Was eating the cat's poop.
Oh, my God.
So I had to carry them both downstairs. I had the cat under one arm to put her out, the dog under the other arm. She's jumping away. It looks like a giant Malteser. It was disgusting. No, but she's younger. There's going to be firework. Who's that?
It's David again.
Oh, flip the day.
I made a cannon in school.
Good.
I made a brass cannon.
Why don't you tell Liz all about your cannon?
Hi, David.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing lovely, thank you.
Well, you tell me about your cannon.
All it was when I was in school, we had metalwork back in those days, and I made a brass cannon. I was trying to make one rather like you'd see in the American Civil War.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You know, with the cartwheels and everything.
Was you successful?
Yes, well, I made it successfully. About 3 years later, I found that the tuck hole, which you like, was a bit too small. I enlarged that, and I found using banger powder, I could actually make it fire. But only if I fired the edges of the bangers. I didn't want to damage anything.
Well, at least it fired.
Yeah, yeah. If I put 5 bangers worth of powder in there, I'm afraid it makes an incredibly loud sound, so I tend to keep it down to 1 or 2.
What a success.
Yeah, I've made lots of things in my life.
You've made many people happy, David, with your continued contribution to the show. So I'm glad you got through again. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Ta-ta.
10 points to Liz as well for maintaining an air of being enthusiastic when she really wasn't.
Liz, are you playing that music?
Sorry, no, I'm not playing any music, Ian. It's you.
You do a very good impressed voice, Liz.
I was impressed.
Honest, who's that? Someone on line 5
is playing. Someone's making me want to do the salsa.
They're playing some Latino music.
Hello.
There's a voice. Hello, who's this?
Here.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hugo Peters, Bon Vivant, Raconteur, Homme de Monde, Boogaloo, music aficionado, some may say.
Hello, Hugh. You're through to Catherine, myself and Liz.
Ernest Hemingway of the Tenties. Hello, Liz.
Hi.
I can't quite hear you. I've got some Boogaloo music on.
Oh, you've got the music on. I thought it was Ian.
No.
It's my music.
Oh, right, OK.
Yeah, so have you heard Ian's music? It's awful, isn't it?
I actually enjoy some of it.
Some of it.
What would you like, Hugo? Because we're still trying to find out what Liz wants. OK.
Swing your hips, come on.
Hang on, what was that, Liz? Sorry?
I just told you about your fireworks and your dog.
Oh, yeah, but you've... OK, well, actually, the thing is, there's going to be fireworks everywhere, so she's, you know, she'll just have to lump it.
Well, I just hope that you can just run around the house picking it all up.
No, don't worry, she'll eat it. Thank you, Liz.
She'll eat it.
It.
That is disgusting.
You're right, Hugo.
Sorry?
Yeah. 03459-455-555. You're right, Hugo.
Very well, thank you. I hear you talking about fireworks.
Yes?
Catherine's got a firework named after her.
What, the bangers? We've done that already, haven't we?
Not the bangers. The Catherine Wheel.
Yeah, I know. But it's not named after her.
Fireworks of all time.
Oh. I'm feeling things happening to me at the moment.
Spinning fireworks. Knock it in with a nail. Knocking it in with a nail.
Wow, that was...
Stop. Go.
There we go.
Screaming out there.
Afternoon. Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, down the rabbit hole. 03459 455 555. It's a phone-in show with no topics. The way it works, you phone up. Jen will phone you back. If you can hear me and Catherine in your ears, odds are you're on the radio. If you live abroad, we had loads of people in Australia and stuff. So, oh, can't afford. Send me an email and I'll dial up. Send it with the international dialing code because I can't be bothered to Google it. But
the ship and boat thing, I've got clarification from Catherine Mary on the Twitter, who, by the way, says you didn't pass on a really nice message for me the other day.
Oh, Catherine, she just. The thing is, she wanted to blow smoke up Yo and Kelly Betts. Ass.
Well, we don't get it enough, to be honest.
Okay.
So thanks very much. She says you can put a boat in a ship, but you can't put a ship in a boat.
But can you put either in a bottle?
Well, that old fella could when we were kids, couldn't he?
What old fella?
A ship, the secret of the ship in a bottle.
Well, the thing is, you know, ships in bottles are easy.
How can you say that?
they're easy to do.
Don't spoil it.
All right. You make it in the bottle. So you make what you can outside. Mm. Then when it gets too big to shove it in, just before it gets too big to shove it in, you shove it in and you stick it down on plasticine or whatever it is you're using. Then you kind of make it a little bit remotely. But you've...
Don't you have to pull like a
yeah,
string?
Yeah, you've tied a bit of string to the top of the mast. You pull that, wallop, cut the string, bish, bash, bosh, easy peasy, pudding and pie.
Have you got a ship in a bottle?
I've got something in a bottle that sounds like ship.
Oh.
For medical reasons, I have to take it to the hospital on Monday.
Oh, gosh.
Hello, who's that?
It's Matt.
Hello, Matt. You're right, fella. What you got?
What have I got? Do you remember I called you last week when you played Os Mutantis?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, we started off the show with some Os Mutantis today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, oh, you weren't listening to the first 5 minutes!
I think I did hear that, actually.
We played the Os Mutantis doing a cover version of The Mummers and The Puppers to start the show. Oh, yes.
Oh, but yes, brilliant. Yeah, yes, I've got a confession to make. I haven't looked them up yet.
Yeah, go. Oh, go.
Remember, oh, you've had a week. What are you doing?
Put you onto that German band, Corvus Corax.
Yes. I've not looked them up yet. So we're quits. Although, we did have one fella tweeted me, Matthew, and said, oh, since you played Os Mutantis, never heard of them, I've gone out and bought all of their albums.
Gosh.
So Os Mutantis owe me a few. What money do they have over in Brazil? Not a lot.
What do you think of that?
Huh? Here's
did you
the
hear
thing.
That?
What was that? Go on. It sounds German. It's, doesn't it? It does. Bless you. It sounds German, doesn't it, Matt?
Oh, it's very German.
German music
is... It can be too German.
Very masculine. It's warriors music.
Warriors.
It's what they should have had as... Are you into Star Trek at all?
Do you know what? I am. I've just... By the way, guys, and I know there's a difference. I've just watched, for the first time ever in my life, last night, we watched Return of the Jedi.
Did you?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. He kills Darth Vader at the end. I didn't know that. I do like a bit of Star Trek. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, is A, an excellent time travel movie, and B, it's the best Star Trek movie.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. Here's the formula for Star Trek movies, Catherine.
Go on.
The odd ones are rubbish, the even ones are good. And that is true, isn't it, Matt?
Right, odd ones. That's the motion picture.
Rubbish.
I like that one.
Yeah, but it's not very good.
The Wrath of Khan is brilliant.
The Wrath of Khan is rubbish.
Oh, no. That slug
that's
in the
an
ear.
Even one.
Oh, yeah, he's right. Hang on, he's right. It's an even one. Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan, Ricardo Montalban.
You call yourself a Trekkie?
No, I don't. Star Trek 3, Star Trek 3? Okay. The Search for Spock.
I like that one.
Yeah, but it's rubbish.
That's an odd one. Voyage Home you like.
Yeah, 4, good. 5.
The Final Frontier.
Yeah, rubbish.
I quite like that one.
Yeah, you like all the rubbish ones. Look, Catherine's getting bored.
Using?
Catherine's getting
bored. I mean, come on, lads. Yeah. Come read a book.
What I was going to say is that Corvus Corax music is very Klingon warrior music, don't you think?
I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say thank you.
You're pretending to understand the reference.
I do get the reference. Hey, Matthew, we're talking about fireworks, right? Have you ever lit a firework?
No, I don't think I have. I used to make little... I used to be into chemistry when I was in my teens, so yeah. I used to make little explosives out of potassium permanganate and glycerin.
All right, well, ISIS are taking notes today. Oh, write that down.
That's the voice. That's how they talk,
it's
isn't
the
it?
Voice that
you'll
I bottled
get,
out.
You'll get arrested.
I used to, when years and years ago, right, when I was 16 years old, 15, 16, 15, first time I saw him, I went used to go and see Frank Sidebottom a lot, right? So it involved going to London and quite often going to comedy clubs. Or it was weird. He would either play comedy clubs or he'd play, like, rock, like, music venues, right? And one of the support acts, and he's still doing this act to this very day, a bloke called Chris Lynham, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the age of 15, I had never seen anything like it, and it blew my mind. I didn't understand it. It wasn't funny, but I was, me and my friend Malcolm Richmond, we were in hysterics, because it really... Chris Lynham, in fact, and Frank Sidebottom opened my mind up to the fact that you can put anything on a stage and call it, and you can do anything, basically, and it, you don't need hundreds of people to enjoy it. If three people are digging it, it's worthwhile doing. Chris Lynham, right?
Yeah.
He would do this... he would do, like, sort of stand-up, but it wasn't stand-up, and then... He would strip off and he had a dress on underneath, right? And then he took the dress off and he stripped off till he was completely naked, right?
Oh, gosh.
He got a Roman candle firework.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
He shoved it...
No.
Oh, no way.
...his bum! So we went, imagine this. There's two 15-year-old lads, and it was in the Marquee the first time we saw him. We're having our first couple of beers, right? So we've had a couple of Fosters, so we're a little bit tipsy.
Silly.
Oh, we're all over the shop. There's a naked bloke. He's got wild hair. He stood there. He's got his winkle between his legs. He's naked. He shoves a Roman candle up his bum. He lights it while he's doing a monologue. It was flipping and then he waddles off stage.
With it still going?
With it still... No, it fizzled. It burnt out. You saw, him, saw it burn out. And then he waddles off
stage. I was
going to
say, you want to find out where he got that firework from.
Oh, mate, Matthew, it was awesome. And that was the reaction. Matthew, thank you very much indeed. That was the reaction that we had. He lives in Zimbabwe, right? And he goes and lives in Zimbabwe, and then he comes over, like, every 2 years, does a shed load of gigs like that to get money, to go back and...
Puts a rocket in, back to Zimbabwe.
It was brilliant.
Wow.
Used to be loads of acts.
How do you sell yourself to an agent that way? So what is it you do? Well...
The late 80s, early 90s, I don't want to look back on the golden age of comedy, because it wasn't, there was a lot of rubbish around, but there was some great acts, right? That were really weird. It was kind of like performance art. There was a guy called George Egg who's still doing the rounds. I don't know if he's doing this act. And how did he work? He did like stand up, and then he'd get a coat hanger, and he put it through his nose.
Oh,
was it his nose or his nipple? It might have been his nipple. And he would hang this clothes hanger on his nipple, and then he'd strip off, and he'd hang all the clothes on the clothes hanger, and it covered his ding dang.
Flipping it.
Amazing. Amazing. And the thing is, I'm not involved in the comedy circuit anymore.
Good job.
And I don't go to those kind of gigs anymore.
I thought you were going to say
no.
You'd be doing that.
No, because I don't know if these acts, if there are acts that are still like this now, or whether that was kind of the end, kind of like the dying embers of the alternative comedy circuit when it was
the wrinkle-based jokes.
Yeah, when it was like Rick Mayall and Lexi Sale and all the. I think they've kind of died out now, and now it's just it's boring stand-ups.
There are some sort of character-based things as well. I mean, I went to see John Shuttleworth a while ago.
Yeah, he's good. But he's from,
really
he's from the old school. He's from the mid-80s.
It's really good. There was only about 15 of us there. He still did it. And we had a laugh.
You know, Frank Sidebottom used to hate... Chris Seaver used to hate him.
Because they were doing a similar thing.
He nicked his act. Oh. He nicked... This is Chris's side of the story. I've interviewed John Shuttleworth as John Shuttleworth. Nice bloke. Graham Fellows, isn't it?
Yeah.
But a young Graham Fellows would follow Frank Sidebottom all around his gigs, and he got talking to him. Oh, can I come round and have a look at the? And he went round, and Chris basically deconstructed the act for him.
Yeah.
Showed him how he did it. 6 weeks later, John Shuttleworth.
The thing is, John Shuttleworth is sort of more focused and targeted, whereas poor old Frank was just all over the shop, wasn't he?
Poor old Chris. 03459 455 555. What you do to me?
What you do?
The Fannies. Tin Milk Fan Club.
Oh.
Tin Milk Fan Club, abbreviated to the Fannies, ladies and gentlemen. And Saffron's listening from Republica.
I love Saffron.
Well, I say, I don't know if you are listening, Saffron. You're always welcome to come on 03459 455 555. She just retweeted that we're on. And I interviewed Saffron when I worked at Absolute. I'm never sure if it's called Virgin or Absolute, but when I worked at Absolute, and Republica came in, right? And I used to. Oh, God, I used to adore that woman so much.
So did I.
And she came in, and do you know what? She was every bit as charming and delightful and as funny and as naughty and as rude and as wicked as you would want her to be. She was delightful. Came yay close to doing a radio show with her. The Absolute were launching Absolute 90s, and we went to them and said...
She would be ideal, wouldn't she?
Let's do a show together. We'll play 90s records, because the interview was just us messing around. That was close.
Wow.
That was close.
Digging each other.
Just digging around for gossip. And we said, we'll do a show. And I said, I'll do it for free. Do you know what I mean? I'll come and do it after my show one day. And we almost did it, and we didn't. And it would have been so much fun.
Awesome.
She was so good. We'll play a Republica song in a minute. I'm sure I've got the album somewhere.
Oh, well, her loss, my losser.
What? Anyway, Saffron, I hope you're well. She was nice.
Yeah.
03459 455 555.
Freddie Starr.
Sorry?
Something I was thinking about today.
Well, steady on, guys. Steady, Freddie.
I was watching Gogglebox, and they had...
Never seen that
programme. Oh, it's so funny.
You know, I used to have a programme that was like that.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
What was it called?
Flipside.
Right.
Right. And Flipside was brilliant.
Tell me what it was about.
It was Richard Bacon's idea, right? And it was a really... And I put off doing it. But I ended up doing it, right?
Mm.
And it was great. It was on like some cable channel, then it was on Comedy Central, and then it was on Channel 4 for a week.
And what
actually.
Is it? People sitting on the sofa watching the telly?
It was, you'd have someone hosting it. Right. So it was either me hosting it, Bacon hosting it, or Justin Lee Collins hosting it.
Crikey.
And you would have three celebs flicking through all the satellite channels.
Oh, right.
So you'd have like Boyd Hilton.
Oh, I think I remember that.
You'd have like a pop star, and then you'd have, I remember we had Keith Allen on once. And boy, oh boy, Keith Allen, I'm sure, won't mind me saying, he was physically with us, but yeah. Mentally he was wah, 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 all over the shop.
But that was kind of his thing then, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. So I would say, all right, Boyd, what have you got? And he'd go, right, well, I'm on channel 862, right? It's the...
Well, and they're watching this live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they go...
Were you worried it would make people go, oh, that sounds better than this, I'm going to watch
that?
Yeah,
but that was the beauty of it. That was the beauty of it. The people might go... And we'd describe... You know, they would find rubbish that was on satellite.
Right.
And they'd describe it, make a joke. And then we go, all right, Keith, well, what have you got? And that was an actual show. That was the forerunner to Gogglebox.
Gogglebox is good because, you know, you can watch on catch-up now. So if you've missed something and it catches your eye, then you can do it again. But it was funny. It is funny. And they were watching Dirty Dancing. And the number of blokes who secretly quite enjoy Dirty Dancing. But I remember watching that as a sort of teenager and thinking Patrick Swayze was the most beautiful man I'd ever seen in my life. And then I realised something about Patrick Swayze that put me right off him.
Yeah.
Looks like Freddie Starr, doesn't he?
Do you think he does? Really?
Once you see it, you can't look at him the same way again.
I wonder if I'm going to Google Freddie Starr and Patrick
Swayze. Because he had that thing that I really was into at the time and still quite like, the slight squint.
Look, there's Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
I
can see that. That's a shame.
Yes, it is a shame.
So that put you off?
Put me right off him.
I never liked Patrick Swayze. He always looked a little bit too Chinesey for me.
Oh, I love that. A little squint.
And I always thought he was very... Do you know what? It's one of the things. I didn't like the persona that was portrayed. And then I watched Donnie Darko when he's in it. It is Patrick Swayze, isn't
it? Yeah,
I don't
get that film. I watched it
as
well.
He's got Kiddie Porn Dungeon.
Yeah.
And he's
actually a good actor.
He was such a good actor in it. He was so against everything else that I'd ever seen him in. I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm completely misjudging. He died. He's dead now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He got cancer. Was it pancreatic cancer he got?
I can't remember if it was pancreatic or lung, but he smoked a lot.
I think it was pancreatic because it was quick.
Yeah, it was awful.
But he's got a brother.
Yes.
Who looks exactly like...
No, he looks like a melted version of him. He looks like him if you'd made him out of crayons and put him near the radiator.
There's loads of people like that, isn't there? There's
the Quaids. Oh, flipping heck, the Quaids.
The Quaids?
You know Dennis Quaid, another beautiful squinty man.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
His brother Randy's on the run.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Is that a reality show?
No, actually...
Brother Randy's on the run.
They're actually on the run.
What for?
Well, they thought... Well, apparently what they've done is, well, for, they didn't answer to some squatting charges, him and his wife.
Yeah.
But the reason why they were squatting in their own house, and they've been some kind of kerfuffle, they think that they are being targeted by a Hollywood murder squad. True story.
It's, are drugs involved?
Yeah, I think they might be. But they're on the run in Canada. He's got a massive beard. True story. It's bizarre.
Frank Stallone.
Oh, Frank.
Frank. There's a film, isn't there? There is at least
isn't
one...
Isn't Frank Stallone actually, you know, logically better looking
than
Sly?
He's a singer as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't there's a film where it's all the brothers of the famous people. So it is the other Swayze. It is Frank Stallone.
One of the Baldwins.
Yeah, it is. They kind of... I've just been reminded, David, thank you for this. Something about Chris Lynham. I've forgotten what the punchline was to having the firework up the bum.
Oh, that wasn't it?
No. Thank you. And he would say it in his deadpan voice, right? David says, once Chris Lynham had inserted his pyrotechnic, he would face the audience, salute, and play There's No Business Like Show Business, and then he would exit the stage. Now that is an act, guys, isn't it?
Good
That's
grief.
An act.
Good grief.
03459 455 555 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. So, yes, I shall be going. I don't know where you buy fireworks. Tesco's?
Yeah. Or any of the supermarket chains.
What you don't get now, and you used to get a lot, you don't get the fireworks shops. Do you remember? Like
in, a pop-up shop.
Yeah, in like the beginning of September, you get a shop with like a shoddy banner. Mm-hmm. Fireworks! Fireworks! Fireworks!
Is there a rule now? Is that why?
I think there's
some sort of rule.
I bought into all of those. I bought into all of those adverts of the 70s and 80s that warned us against playing with fireworks. So I never did it. That's why I never ever bought one.
But now
I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it.
And it's kind of I'm excited. I'm excited at the power that I will have in my car. You know, to
this is like the beginning of casualty. This conversation.
Yeah, but it won't be me that gets hurt.
Well, it'll be me.
Well, it could be. You're the one dissing me. Yeah, I'll go off and buy the fireworks and have a great evening. You'll drive off in a different direction and drive down a ditch.
It doesn't work out that way in casualty. It's the person who goes, what could possibly go wrong? It's been 40-odd years and I've never done one. I think I've got the hang of this.
No, it's not.
Kaboom!
It's not that person.
Charlie looking concerned.
It's never the person, because that's the person you would think it was going to be. It's never the person you think it's going to be. What happened to Charlie in casualty? Because his career started out with such good promise, right?
Yeah, I think he's trademarked the crumpled look.
Long Good Friday he was in, and like a couple of... Yeah, he was in Long Good Friday.
Charlie Fairhead?
Yeah, he's
in... Off of Casualty?
Yeah, yeah. Is he the one that gets done in the showers?
What?
You know the Long Good Friday with Bob Hoskins?
I've never seen it.
It's all right. I bet it's...
Doesn't sound like a very good Friday for poor Charlie.
I watched it on a bootleg videotape when I was nine. Thanks, Dad. It's quite violent. And Charlie is in it. I think he gets done in the showers. I think so. So, like, promising career. And then he ends up in Casualty for 25 years.
That's a stable job for an actor. Don't knock it.
But when Casualty started, it was like a drama.
Yeah.
Now it's a soap. Hey, Hollyoaks is celebrating its 25th year.
How did that happen?
That's just insane, isn't it?
Bring back El Dorado.
03459 455 555 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. The way it works, you phone up, you'll speak to Jen, she'll call you back. Let's get some Trav.
Travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Good afternoon. Still looking busy on the northbound M1 between junction 7 at Hemel Hempstead and 12 at Flitwick. Also, the M25 very slow anti-clockwise, 20 at Kings Langley, all the way around to 16 for the M40. Northbound M40 also looking busy between 8A at Oxford Services up towards junction 10 at Brackley. Still got this problem in St Albans. London Road closed in both directions. Follows a serious police incident between the High Street and Watson's Walk. It's been closed since about 3:30 this morning, and delays in the area as a result. On the trains, reduced service on Thames Link between Blackfriars and St Albans. That's all due to emergency engineering work between Radlett and St Albans, likely to be ongoing through the rest of today. Gary King, BBC Three Counties Radio.
But what was the year? Thank you, Gary. Which bird lays the biggest egg? Jokes for like three people that are listening. It's absolutely fine. Don't you worry. 03459 555 555. Saffron's tweeting me. We're flirting on Twitter. Me and Saffron, 20-year-old me. Is,
you make me want to puke.
Hey. We've talked about fireworks. And that's actually all we've talked about. We'll come up with something else to talk about in the next hour. Don't worry.
Local and vocal across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
1 o'clock, I'm Louise Parry. The headlines: 9 arrested in St Albans after teenager dies. Dunstable men remanded over historic child abuse and police investigate TalkTalk cyber attack.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
A man in his late teens has died after a fight broke out in St Albans overnight. It happened at around 3:20 this morning in London Road. More from Nicola Hazler.
The man was injured during the altercation and taken to Watford General Hospital, where he died. 9 people have been arrested in connection with the incident, including 2 teenage girls, 2 women in their 20s and 5 men. Hertfordshire Police has put out an appeal for witnesses.
2 Dunstable men have been remanded in custody after being charged as part of an investigation into historic child sex offences. Charlie Jones, who's 76, and 49-year-old John Burden, both of Maidenbower Avenue, appeared before Luton Magistrates Court yesterday on a total of 24 counts, including 8 cases of rape. Their next court appearance is on the 16th of November. Police say their investigation remains ongoing and a hotline has been set up for concerned members of the public to contact them. The police are trying to find out more information about a ransom demand sent to TalkTalk following a cyber attack, which is thought to have resulted in the theft of millions of customers' personal data. Some TalkTalk customers have complained that their bank accounts and credit cards were targeted. There have been complaints that the firm failed to warn people of the attack quickly enough. Hilary Foster's one of those affected. She says she felt sick when she found out.
As far as I was aware, I've lost £600. I was massively overdrawn. The bank reassured me quite quickly and said they would refund the money, but I'm still very angry about the fact that my details are potentially out there somewhere on the internet, and I'm going to have to keep checking my bank statement now for a month to come.
People in the Aylesbury area of Buckinghamshire are being asked for their views on how it should be developed. Consultations started on the local plan, which includes proposals for more than 30,000 new homes. More from Danny Bailey.
The council says they need to build 31,000 new homes in Aylesbury Vale by 2033. The new plan sets out a framework for where growth will take place. The options include developing urban extensions at Milton Keynes and Bletchley, allowing houses in new developments to be built closer together and creating a whole new settlement somewhere in the Vale. A series of public exhibitions will visit the local area from the start of November.
A man from St Albans is helping to deliver caravans to the migrant camp in Calais, nicknamed the Jungle. Dave King has delivered 8 caravans so far and says he just wants to make sure people can survive the winter.
We're not advocating any solution to the refugee problem long term, because it's a big question. What we are trying to do is get people out of the mud. Winter's coming and they're going to start dying soon.
And in sport, England conceded a first innings deficit of 136 runs after being bowled out for 242 by Pakistan in the second test in Dubai. Pakistan are now batting in their second innings. A short time ago, they were 134 for 3. And defending champions New Zealand will take on South Africa this afternoon in the semi-finals of the rugby. The weather for Beds, Hearts and Bucks: cloudy and wet this afternoon with a high of 14 Celsius. Get the latest news and sport online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.
I took a stroll on the old long walk of the day. I met a little girl and we stopped to talk of a fine soft day. And I asked your friend, what's a fella to do? 'Cause her hair is black and her eyes are blue. And I knew right then I'd be taking a whirl. A salt hill prom with a Galway girl. Oh. We're halfway there when the rain came down on the day. She asked me up to her flat downtown on a fine soft day. And I ask you, friend, fella to do, 'cause her hair was black and her eyes were blue. I took her hand and I gave her a twirl. Oh, and I lost my heart to a Galway girl. Oh, broken heart and a ticket home. And I ask you now, tell me what would you do? If her hair's black and her eyes are blue. Cause I travel around, I've been all over this world. Boys, I ain't never seen nothing like a Galway girl.
So, got me thinking today, right? The poppies.
Yes.
Tis the season to be popping.
I've got three.
Well, there you go. You see?
I made three donations.
Exactly. And that's what... This is...
Kids like them.
I'm going to tread carefully, OK?
Yeah, do.
This is my problem with poppies.
Right, go on.
Right? Is that it can be visibly seen. Mm-hmm. A judgment can be made upon your physical appearance as to whether you've decided to support the poppies
or
not.
Well, only by an idiot.
Yep. We speak to these idiots every flipping year. These idiots call in. And I think that, you know, every charity should be a choice, right? Whether you want to do it or not. And remember that old boy who said, well, this is the most important charity. Well, to you it is, sir, yes. To lots of people it is, but then...
Cats Protection would argue the same.
Yeah, and Macmillan would argue, you know, well, Macmillan probably wouldn't argue. But, you know, at the moment, I've had a few charities that have been the most important to me for a while. Yeah. It's the MS Society. At the moment it's Macmillan.
Yeah.
You know, the poppy thing is up there. It's a good one, but it's not the most important to me. And I just kind of think there is... there is a slight 03459 455 555. By the way, we'll call you back. There is a slight judgmental element around it,
and I think it doesn't help the fact that the BBC hand them out to people on television because they want to avoid people being, you know,
Sky do as well,
taken to task over it. Yeah.
I've been on Sky. I know the BBC are a little bit more forthright in almost insisting that you have. I've been on Sky and they've come in and they said, "We've got these poppies. Would you like to wear one?" The fact that they've asked me that, I generally say no. Because it's not right.
Well, also, I mean, for the most part, I stick it on my coat. It's just... the fact that you're doing it for a less than pure motive, which is just to get people off your back, takes away from the power of it, doesn't it?
I've got one from 3 years ago. I'm still allowed to use that, yeah?
Make a donation.
Well?
Make a donation.
Why?
Well, you know why I wear one.
Yeah?
Because I've got a family member who's in the forces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's important. But that's the same reason I give to Macmillan, because it's another organisation that sort of touched my life. But I don't judge people who don't.
That's weird, isn't it? I've never seen that go orange before.
Does that mean that...
I don't know. We don't know what it means.
Is it the end of days?
I don't know.
The clock in the studio's gone orange.
The end of Dave's. That would be awesome.
But anyway, yeah, what happened to you being able to support a charity... For personal reasons.
The charities, the thing, the biblical reference about charity is, right, is the right hand is not supposed to know what the left hand is doing, okay? So basically, you give to charities and you don't bang on about it, okay? If you give to charities and you bang on about it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. Well, wearing the poppy is, to a certain extent, I know partly it's showing solidarity, but it's also banging on about it. Look at me. I have you? You're not wearing... I've got...
Yeah, but charities have always given out stickers and stuff like that. It's sort of the only advertising they had for a long time before they went big business.
Yeah, I like the stickers. I do like the stickers. I like the stickers, but I don't. Just the thing about them, it just make the poppy.
You think there's a bullying?
Oh, there
to
is.
It. Yeah.
Oh, there, and I'm sure there is in other charities as well. But we've encountered characters. No names, no pack drill. Mm-hmm. We've encountered characters. Okay, we had a gentleman in ages ago, right, to talk about poppies, right, and he was selling them. And was it Sophie he bullied, or Kelly he bullied?
It was
Sophie, I think. Sophie Solaria. He bullied into buying a poppy. And then she put, like, 50 pence in. He went, oh, is that it?
Rude.
That is wrong. That is inappropriate. And I make up, and I'm not in any way knocking the charity, and I probably will buy... I might not buy a poppy. I don't know. Don't know. Sometimes it kind of escapes me to do so. But I make up that there is more of that with poppies than there is with other charities.
Hello.
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 Poppies.
Yeah.
Right. There is only a certain time of the year when we are allowed, we, in brackets, people are allowed to sell the poppies. Right. There are sites now where you can buy nice brooches and earrings and all that thing.
Yeah.
But you talk about wearing the poppies.
Yeah.
A lot of shops have on the till area Marie Curie or something else or something else. Uh-huh. I mean, I have...
Marie Curie. I've never heard Marie Curie.
Right, OK, fine.
I'm not
as clever as you, Ian. Sorry,
No, Sheila, it's not... Sheila, calm down. It's not a dig.
No, but...
I'm just saying, I've never heard it pronounced like that before.
All right, OK, right.
This is already kind of the attitude that I'm talking about. There's a real kind of slightly... holier than thou.
Could I also have a bit of the conversation, please?
There we go. Wow. There we go. No, listen, you're in my backyard, and I'll let you talk. But it's interesting, isn't it? This is week four. We've had no snarkiness at all so far until we start talking about the poppy, and then just a little tone comes in—a tone of, I don't know, expectancy or something. I don't know. Anyway, go carry on. Yeah.
Right. What I was going to say is the poppies are only out on the street for once a year at a various time, at a certain time. But the other types of charities are also around probably all year. I mean, I've got a little star thingy, which was a cancer thing. I've got a little, what it sort of looks like, not a cross, but a loop. That's another one. So if you go into the shops and if you look at people perhaps a bit closer, the poppy does stand out. But there are lots of little pins that people have got.
Right.
So, in other words, it's like if I walk into...
I don't approve of those, and they're still around a bit. Those bracelets, those rubber bracelets that you got for the drug cheat cyclist, and then they came out for like cancer, and you got them for AIDS, and you got them for the dog sign round the corner. All of those. Yeah. I think it's just banging on about it. You want to give a few quid? Give a few quid. Beautiful. Next.
But what you were saying about the poppies being thrust in your face, i.e. if you're not wearing one.
Sheila, I didn't say poppies being thrust in my face, no.
You said that there was a pressure.
Yeah. Pressure, yeah. But what I'm trying to say is the poppy, yes, because it's big and it's red, you walk in the shop, and I have often said, I've got one on my other coat, or sorry, I've lost it.
But why do you feel the need to explain it, though? That's the thing.
I don't know, perhaps because when you're walking close. But I would say it to the other people, but... There are loads and loads of other pins that I've got on that are there out all year. But
it's interesting you feel you have to say that to a poppy seller. When someone tries to tell me the big issue, right? I look them in the eye, say, you know what, I don't fancy it, thanks. I don't do that. Oh, I've got one at home. I talk to them as a human being, but I say, no, thanks. Good luck.
Well, if someone is there with something, like the guy who sits outside Mark's with his two dogs occasionally, as he goes past and he looks, I say, no, thank you. And if there is somebody else doing, no, thank you.
You don't feel the need to say, I've got no change, or I just gave to the beggar back there. It's just interesting with the poppies. There is a social pressure on us to display the fact that we have supported the poppy. And if you don't support the poppy, then what are you, some kind of hippie pacifist? You don't want to... Those guys that got killed and had their limbs blown off, you don't want to support those?
When I come past some of the others who happen to be standing there with various things, and they look at me, and I've sometimes just said, no, I give to what I wish to. In other words, you can't see it whether or not you send money to the blind on a regular basis, because there's a lot of stuff down through the post.
Why have you got to tell anyone anything? If you give to charity, then that should be, that's your...
It's personal, isn't it?
Your little thing between you and them. Why do we need to tell everyone about it?
I don't know. Perhaps we're just being a little bit polite. Maybe we like to make that person...
But is it polite to say that you'd prefer not to give to their cause? That kind of diminishes what they're doing, doesn't it?
No. I'm not saying you don't want to give to their cause, that you give to an other cause. Something like you said of yourself in the family. Mm. So you choose those particular things because they mean something to you.
But I don't feel the need to tell that to other people.
No, but sometimes it depends on where you are. I mean, you can go in some of the shops and they've got it all laid out. Not the poppies, I'm talking about other ones.
Yeah.
And as you go past, you catch that. And I guess maybe, being an older person, when you see that person there has been standing there maybe for 3 or 4 hours, hoping, because we don't rattle tins anymore. Apparently you're not allowed to rattle tins, but there are some people who will rattle tins. But
well, they should stop it. It's against the law. It's against the law.
You kind of say to that person, because they've caught your eye, or something, because perhaps you think that they'll be disappointed by standing there all day without anybody putting their money in.
That's your thing. The only time I ever justify and say, no, I'm sorry, you know, I've got chosen charities, is when they turn up at the front door. And actually, I resent them doing that. I really resent them doing that. And I think it's a real shame, because some of the charities they're representing are great, but I think it takes away from their... I don't know. I think it's immoral.
All right, Sheila, thank you very much. 03459 455 555. It's a phoning topic with no topic. We were coming dangerously close to having a topic there.
Yeah.
It's just, basically, it's me and Kath having a chat. You phone up, you speak to Jen, she takes your number, she calls you back, and then you hear us talking on the phone, then the odds are you're probably ready to go on the air.
Tell you what, I stopped giving to one of my chosen charities because they kept pestering me. They kept ringing up. I was told if I give you a certain amount per month.
That old woman that killed herself because she was all the charities and stuff.
No, but it wasn't because of
that. Yeah, it wasn't because of that. It wasn't because of that at all. And that story's never really come out. Her family went, oh, no, it wasn't that. I mean, that was annoying that she was getting all this mail from charities.
But she was already in a bad place,
She was troubled, you know. So could you stop saying that she killed herself because of all the charities, please?
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? But no one's picked... I've only heard that mentioned once. In one place, someone said, well, this is the story, but actually, that didn't happen, and it happened because of this.
It's easier and more comfortable for people to suggest it was the charities because it kind of gets on everyone's nerves.
Mm. 03459 455 555. Someone mentioned this on Twitter, and I thought, yeah, do you know what? We'll have some of this. I don't know if I can press play. Here we go. Thank you very much. I love that song, Airhead, right? And it sums up... Hang on. My late teens, early 20s. It's funny how the girls you fall in love with never fancy you. It's funny how the ones you don't do. And that was my early 20s,
ladies and gentlemen. Everyone's.
That was pretty much everybody's.
But there were people that fancied me and never said anything. I always found that very frustrating.
Who's that?
Tash.
Hello?
Hello, who's that?
Tash.
Tash.
Hello, Tash, you're right?
Yes, thank you. No, just basically, me and my dad and brother were on the A1 and we just wanted to call in the radio and tell everyone that the police had stopped the traffic because a swan was on the road.
Those swans?
The flipping swans on the road?
Yeah, there was one swan and the police had stopped it, both traffic, both ways, and we just thought we would tell everyone on the radio.
I do actually think, like, we get my knee-jerk reaction, Tash. Hey, steady on.
Went down the wrong
hole. If you're going to cough, go out and do it. I'm trying to talk to Tash. my knee-jerk reaction, Tash, right, is when I hear stories like this, is to think, oh, flipping police. Blah, 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 blah. But actually, do you know what? I'm really glad they do that. First of all,
yeah,
swans.
We're just really proud to be British right now.
Yes! That's what... I've always wondered, what does being British mean? It's Bobby's
stopping
taking
for
Her Majesty's swans off of the A1. But you know the Queen owns all of the swans?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever eaten swan? It's illegal.
Nope,
good.
Never
that's,
will.
That's the correct answer. No, Tash.
You
come
would
on.
If they offered you one.
Tash,
come on.
If you were in a restaurant, right, and the waiter said to you, "Madame, you look like you have very special tastes. Would you like to come into the room behind the curtain?" You would go
say no.
No, you would say yes, Tash. You'd go in the room behind the curtain. They'd sit you down, and it'll be like velvet, like floor, velvet walls. It'd be lovely, right? And he'd say, "Madame."
Sounds a
you?
Bit like Fifty Shades of Grey.
It does. Don't go in there, Tash. Woman to woman, do not go in there.
Hang on a minute. Tash, how old? Tash, how old are you?
Woman.
Tash, how old are you?
18.
Okay, fair enough. We can discuss Fifty Shades of Grey. The bloke goes, and he's got like a big, what do they call those bells?
Cloche.
He's got a cloche, right? And he goes, "Madame, for you, something very, very special indeed." And he takes the lid off, right? And there's a swan with an apple in its mouth. It's cooked. You would eat that swan.
No, I wouldn't.
You would eat that flipping... I had a duck sandwich today. It's only one step up.
I hope you wouldn't eat that swan.
Of course I would.
I don't think the Queen would be happy with
it. Alright, well, alright, let's say the Queen's okay with it, Tash. You've got a note from the Queen saying go for it.
If she was there.
Okay, oh, well, you're very demanding.
The Queen is chowing down on swan. She lifts
pulls off
up
a leg.
Hands it to you and goes, "You want some?"
It would have to be crispy, wouldn't it?
Delicious.
Dad, you're not invited, mate. Sorry.
It might be Peri Peri. She's modern these days, isn't she? But Harry's had a word.
Is the swan gone now, Tash?
Sorry?
Is the swan gone?
Yeah, the swan is safe. She flew off gracefully.
Beautiful. The swan's one of the least graceful of all birds, but thank you. Tash, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Ta-ta. Bye-bye. There we go. You see, it's a phony show with no topics. 03459-455-555. We're going to play a song by Debbie Gibson in a bit, probably after 8:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's reminded me. It's electric. Now, she had two albums. Where's the cover? Give us the cover.
It's here.
A little shifty at the cover, because she had two albums. I had such a crush.
Right, first thing, the waistcoat. I mean, I had an array of waistcoats back in those days.
I also had
some baggy jackets like Debbie Gibson.
She was the wholesome Tiffany. Tiffany was the dirty girl.
Well, we didn't know that then.
You know they've made films together.
Oh.
No. They made like one called... Are they in Sharknado together? Which is a shark in a tornado. Or mega... They're in the... Debbie Gibson and Tiffany are in a film. It's something like... Killer... Crocodile and Mega Python or something like that.
They sound like the sort of films, obviously, that I would go for, but I haven't seen them.
No, this isn't the album. The other album, what was her other album called?
The one about Only in My Dreams.
That was the album I used to listen to. I had it on my Walkman, right?
that look was for the benefit of Periscope.
That was the album I used to listen to when I was delivering the free newspapers...
Mm.
I used to listen to that. That was when I got my love for the Monkees properly certified. But then I had little Boots homemade Walkman, and I would listen.
I had one
to
of those. It was blue.
Mine was white,
oh.
And the print would come off, and it was really rubbish. You had to press the button down really hard sometimes to make it not wobble.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen to Debbie Gibson And such lonely, cold, dark nights were warmed up ever so slightly by Debbie Gibson purring to me down my ears. Boy, oh boy.
Morton Harkett was my Debbie Gibson. Really? I had the only poster I was ever allowed, and I wasn't allowed to put them on the wall.
She's got two watches on!
Crazy.
She's insane.
I wasn't allowed to put my poster up because it would mark the wallpaper, but I was allowed to stick it on the back of my door. It was Morton Harkett sweating in a vest.
My bedroom.
Oof.
My bedroom from the age of 12 to the age of 17, my parents must have thought I was the gayest boy ever.
Justify that.
Well, it was all covered. All the walls, even at one point, the ceiling, was covered in pictures of a topless, sweaty Chinaman.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. Covered in Bruce Lee. Oh, but there were no female pop stars. There was no Sneaky Sam Foxes. It was all covered. All of it was covered in pictures of Bruce Lee, either in a vest or topless, sweaty, having a fiddle with his nunchucks.
So when your mum found your stash inside one of your record covers, she must have been relieved.
Yes.
And horrified.
My mum did find my adult magazines in between the pages of a Jan and Dean Greatest Hits double album.
It's what Jan and Dean would have wanted, though, isn't it?
It's what Jan would have wanted. It's what Jan would have wanted. 03459 455 555. But the free paper, it was... I'm old enough, dear listener, to have worked in an era... It was a halfpenny a paper. Now, you say that now, right, and it sounds like it's Victorian era. I was 14, lied about my age, 13 maybe, actually, and I got paid halfpenny a paper to deliver. I guess it was like the Slough Recorder or something.
Gosh.
And it had them in this big bag, and this big bag weighed me down. Later on, it had a shopping trolley, my mum's shopping trolley. It means I could do more in one go and not have to go back.
But you avoided people more?
Oh, well, this girl that I really fancied saw me with the shopping trolley once, delivering the free papers. Oh... Life was not worth living after that. It was awful. The shame. It was such a horrible job. And I don't think... A kid's even allowed to do, like, proper paper rounds anymore.
Well, we've got a kid that does ours, but he normally is with his mum. In fact, normally it's his mum doing it, if I'm
honest. Yeah, because you don't get... I don't think... first of all, people don't get their papers delivered.
But the free papers.
When we had papers delivered, there was a period about 10 years ago, I thought it would be nice to get a few Sunday papers delivered, right? It was a bit up my own backside. And they were delivered. It was either the Asian fella that ran the shop or it was an old bloke who was a little bit... I don't know what the phrase is today. I was going to say mentally subnormal. Probably not, you can't say that.
Certainly not, no.
No, do you know what I mean? It was an older bloke with learning difficulties. That's the phrase. Who delivered the papers. So you don't get kids doing it anymore. Which is what jobs are kids allowed to do these days? I had my first job was delivering the free papers when I was 13. 15, I got a job working in BJAMs.
See, the female version of that is babysitting.
Yeah,
that's what I did. And then I worked at this music school where I used to teach kids music and movement.
But what qualification did you have for that?
None. I've been going to the music school for quite a long time though, so I kind of knew what the routine was. Probably about 15.
Flipping it! Imagine parents. A 15-year-old teaching... who's looking after the class today? It's her. How old's she? Oh, she's just turned 15. Flipping heck, really?
That was good, though.
But in charge of kids?
Yeah.
What were you doing in music and movement?
Well, music. And then some...
such a...
movement. I'd get on the piano and we'd play Mice and Bears, right?
Right.
So you'd get on the piano.
Yeah.
And I'd play the low notes. And the kid, they had to pretend to be bears. And then... And they were mice. For half an hour.
It makes me want to puke.
Travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Now the M25 in Hertfordshire heading anti-clockwise. The exit slip road has been closed at the moment. That's causing some queues because of an accident at junction 23 for the A1M. Now in St Albans, the A1081, that's London Road, both ways has been closed. That's because of a serious police incident between the High Street and Watson's Walk. It's been closed since the early hours of this morning while police investigate, and their traffic is going to build up around the area, so do look out for that. Then in Brickett Wood, it's looking heavy on the North Orbital Road at the moment. That's at the M25's junction 21A roundabout. Mikey Pavlou, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Get the latest news, sports, weather and travel online.
bbc.co.uk/three counties.
Were primarily rubbish.
Oh, no, that bit was fun.
Yeah, we were. You missed us. Miming, we both went for the keytar.
It's only one instrument that will do.
Made up instruments. The keytar, anything that Jean-Michel Jarre plays, completely made up. The
vocoder.
The thing you put in your mouth. Well, isn't there a Bon Jovi song? What's the Bon Jovi song?
Well.
No, that's a diff. No, there are two different things, right? There is a thing where you it's a tube that you suck on or you blow on, and it plays the guitar. So you play the guitar, wow, 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 and does that. So it's kind of mouth the guitar. But then there's the thing that makes you sound like a robot.
Yeah, and that's the Cher used.
No. That's auto tune.
No, that was a vocoder, wasn't it?
For the Believe?
Yeah.
No, that was auto tune.
Was it?
Yeah, that was auto tune. That was them, like, messing around with auto tune, right? No, the vocoder
makes it sound like a robot. Mm. And it's.
The Peter Frampton uses it a lot on the album Frampton Comes Alive.
Someone shouting voice box. Can you hear
Is that your stomach?
Did you hear that?
Flipping heck. Blimey.
Told you I was hungry. Proper hungry.
Other made up instruments, the keytar, Jean-Michel Jarre, the vocoder.
Someone's saying that bongi saucepan thing that people are playing now totally made up.
What bongi
saucepan? A bongi saucepan.
A bongi saucepan thing.
I don't know
of such
things. That's
thing.
From Catherine Mary.
Oh, so 0345 955 555.
Thank you, Jen.
Is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. But the 80s primarily were rubbish. And I didn't really listen to music in the 80s because I was listening to... I was discovering the Beatles and the Monkees and the Beach Boys and the Kinks. Man alive, remember I bought my first Kinks Greatest Hits? Wow! What is this?
So you ignored Skritti Politti?
Well, I missed it. The only 80s music I was into at the time was Jason Donovan.
Wow.
What?
Gosh.
Yeah, I used to love it. I used to think he was good. I used to think he was really good. What are you waving at?
There are people looking, so I thought I'd give them something to look at.
Well, don't give them that to look at. but going back to 80s music...
Bongi saucepan thing's called a hang. I still don't know what you mean.
Just making you say things on the radio. There was some good 80s music, like the hit Spandau Ballet's, the couple of their hits.
Yeah.
But most of it, 80s music was rubbish.
Well,
really.
Yeah. And 80s films told me lies about romance and stuff.
Yeah.
So the 80s were a dark period.
I don't think any of the decades were good. Because the 60s, you know the swinging 60s, right? The swinging bit only lasted from about the end of 66 to about the middle of 68.
And only applied to a certain number of people.
Well, it applied to a load of rich people who lived in central London.
Yeah.
That was it. Everyone else
smelled a bit funny, had bad teeth.
Outside toilets.
Gosh.
Black and white telly, if you had a telly.
And they were reek poor.
Two up, two down was the thing. Everyone was sharing bedrooms.
And trapped in a social structure that didn't really help people from the working classes.
So the swinging 60s only swung for a handful
of Albert
people.
Albert Finney and the Beatles.
The Beatles, that's it. The 70s. 70s are flipping awful. Everything was closed down. Everybody was on strike.
Everything was orange and beige.
Nobody had a job. It was awful.
Again, smelly.
The 80s.
Oh, I can't do this.
What can't you do? Go on, you can.
I can't.
Go on.
No, I can't.
You're doing it, though. Go on, say something. Yeah, say something.
What do I say? Hello, Ian.
Yeah, go on.
Right, Ian.
Go on,
Hello,
then.
Ian.
There you go.
Hello, who's this?
It's Bridget from Hartford.
Hello, Bridget. You're right. You're doing it.
Oh, good.
That was Kathy you were just talking to.
Yes, sorry, I'm a bit nervous.
What are you nervous about?
It's only yours.
No one's listening.
I just phoned to say about Debbie Gibson, actually.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I actually met her.
Oh,
and I got her autograph and stuff and saw her in Greece when she did Greece with Craig McLaughlin.
Oh, yeah. Did she mention Ian at all? Because you think she should be.
I didn't know he was then, did I?
Well, you should have. I bet, do you know what? I bet Debbie Gibson was absolutely flipping delightful. I bet she was charm personified.
No, she was. Yeah. She was nice. And also, she was at Top of the Pops once when I went.
Oh, who else was on Top of the Pops when you went? I'll tell you my top of the, who was on when I went to Top of the Pops.
I can't remember. She sung Shake Your Love.
Shake Your Love. I just can't shake your love.
I can't remember who else was on it. It was ages ago. It was about 87.
I went on Top of the Pops, right? I was a little bit too old for the Top of the Pops. But somehow me and my mates managed to blag some tickets, right? So we were at uni. So we were 21 and we were being all postmodern and ironic.
Yeah.
I tell you, it was on Top of the Pops, right? It was Supergrass's first ever appearance.
Oh, blimey.
And they had to do it twice. The second time, they all swapped instruments. It was also some black gentlemen with... they had basketballs. What would that... It was a really big hit at the time. It doesn't narrow
it down.
Sorry?
Get Down On It.
No, it was much later than Get Down On It. If anyone knows, a hit that would have involved people with basketballs, it wasn't Criss Cross.
Oh, was it? No, You Wish I Was a Ball, or I Wish I Was
no,
a...
No. On at the same time as Supergrass's first ever appearance.
Yeah.
Don't know who else was on, but I tell you, it was being hosted by Dale Winton, right?
What?
Dale Winton,
yeah, I know.
It
was the dying days of Top of the Pops. There was also a programme around at the time... hosted by Armando Iannucci, called, what was it, the Friday Night Project. Anyway, they had this thing, right, where they had an old woman, and they would get the old woman to be in the background of, like, news bulletins and stuff, and then you'd write in and say, oh, I saw the old woman on this. Well, the old woman was there. So Dale, it'll be on YouTube, I'll find it in a bit. Dale Winton was doing a link.
Out Here Brothers, boom, boom, boom.
The Out Here Brothers! Thank you!
Thank you, Periscope.
It was the Out Here Brothers.
Everybody say, well.
Well! And, yeah, I know. Oh, it was a good song. And so there's the
no,
old...
It wasn't.
The old woman was there, right? And so Dale's doing the link. And so behind the old woman is me and my mate Richard. I've got a ponytail.
Ooh.
And we're all pulling, like, faces, like, being all postmodern and ironic and bonkers. In fact, you talk to these two. I'm going to find it on YouTube. Go on, go
okay,
on.
Well, who have we got? I don't even know names. Introduce yourselves, please.
Who, me?
Yeah, go on.
I'm Bridget from Hartford.
Bridget, and I heard someone else grumbling away there. Who's that?
Yeah, this is Matt again.
Matt again? Can't
again,
get enough.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I ordered myself an Os Mutantes CD.
Oh, did you?
I wanted to thank you again. Plus, Ian saying things about 80s music being rubbish, I'm not having that.
All right, name us some good ones.
Nick Kershaw, Howard Jones, Adam and the Ants.
Well, he does like Adam and the Ants.
Eurythmics.
Do you know what? I think Edwin Collins was on. I think I've found it. I think Edwin Collins was on. There we go. There's me. Oh, you just missed me.
Hang on a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just found me on Top of the Pops. I'm just over Dale Winton's shoulder. Hang on a second. This is not really great for radio. He's doing the countdown. Robson and Jerome.
Oh, blimey.
Maybe it wasn't. Is this the one?
Dinah King. Shagger.
Hang on a minute. Number two, Supergrass. All right, yeah, this is the one. Hang on a second. Let's see who number one... Look, That's me. In the back there. That's me. There.
Oh, yeah?
That's me! Anyway, sorry, guys. Sorry, yes. I'll show
you
chances.
You
yes.
Say you were being cool. It looked like you were enjoying yourself.
Look, I'm doing the rock. Look, I'm clapping behind his head. Look, that's me! You twit!
So you've always been a plumber. Then.
Oh, you missed massive twit. You bought some Os Mutantes. Excellent. Bridget...
Yes.
You did it. You see, it's a piece of cake.
Well, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yes, nothing. Now you've broken your duck. You'll be back, won't you?
Well, yeah.
We can't get rid of Matt. Matt keeps calling in all the flipping
okay,
time.
I'm going to go.
It's what you said about the 80s music. I'll tell you something about
it. Hang on, Matt, let her get a word in.
Hang on, Matt. Let her go on. Go on, Bridget.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know whether to stay hanging on or whether to go.
You go whenever you want. We're not going to cut you off. You put the phone down if you want.
Have you got stuff to do, Bridget?
Right.
Have you got stuff to do?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Probably, I don't know.
Oh, go on then.
Well, we're going out later.
Oh, where are you going?
Well, not yet. One in Garden City.
Nice.
It's posh, isn't it?
Oh, totally posh. Garden City.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, have a nice time.
Oh, I will. And like the show, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First time I've heard it, actually.
We like you.
Oh, thanks.
See you later.
Ta-ta, Bridget. Bye-bye. Matt, the 80s music was primarily rubbish. Of course, there are a few good standout tracks, but primarily it was a load of old rubbish.
Well, no, the hairstyles of the 80s were rubbish.
Yeah. Well, so was the music, so was the fashion, so was the television.
No, there was some good stuff on the TV, especially kids' TV in the 80s.
All right, we're not going there.
And on that bombshell, I think it's time we introduce Mr. Dennis Wilson into the proceedings. Thank you very much indeed. Come and watch me on Top of the Pops, Ken. Three, four, five, nine, four, double five, five, double five. The phone and show songs topics. You've heard Dennis Wilson, by the way. Dennis Wilson, there's a life if ever there was.
Wasn't he beautiful?
No,
like proper beautiful. Nuts.
You watch any video, right, of the Beach Boys from 1964? About 1964, right? And Mike Love is working his gojones off at the front. He's up there, odd looking band, the Beach Boys. Mm. The first time a lot of people my generation saw them was at Live Aid, and there was a bedraggled group of people struggling with mental illness and drug addiction. Yeah. Wowzers, you know, these old beardy fat men. But any video from 1964. When they were perhaps at their most black and white beautiful peak, and just all eyes focus on Dennis Wilson. He's just on the drums. He's got that Beatle haircut,
yeah.
And he's just going from side. He shakes his head, and that's it. That's all he needs to do.
And like most attractive people, is making out. He doesn't realise he is, but he's working it from quietly from the back there. And Mike Love is desperately trying, but looking like he drove them there because he's their dad. Well, he does, though, doesn't
he? Well, up until 1964-65, their dad would drive them there. Murray Wilson would drive them to their gigs. He would fine them if they swore on stage.
Gosh.
Murray, the Beach Boys story is fascinating, right? And there's a brilliant recording. It's 30 minutes, right? Bootleg recording of them recording Help Me Rhonda, right? And they'd already sat their dad at that point. Oh, I've got it somewhere.
Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall for that meeting?
Well, you can be a fly on the wall. Well, they sacked him,
for the
right?
sacking.
Well, what they used to do is Murray Wilson produced their early songs, right? And then it was obvious that Brian had a knack for it. So the engineers would mock up like fake control levers and stuff for Murray. So he would come in,
and he'd think he was messing about with it, but he wasn't.
He would think he was producing it, and he wasn't. Oh. He was doing nothing to it. And then they sacked him, and they're recording "Help Me Rhonda," right? And Murray Wilson's been sacked by this point, and he rocks up, right? And he is absolutely steaming drunk, right? And he's telling them, "Hey, boys, come close. Al, come closer to the mic. Give it a ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba-da-da."
Oh, wow.
And it just... And they're all kind of... It's uncomfortable because, you know, Carl Wilson's being very polite. And they're all smirking at him. It's one of the most uncomfortable recordings ever. I don't think I've got it on my iPod, which is perhaps for the best. But it is an absolute joy.
If he'd really loved them, he'd have driven them there and sat outside reading his book, like my dad did when he took us to a Crowded House gig.
Really?
He sat there the entire time. Yeah, he took us to. It must have been. It was somewhere in London. It wouldn't have been the O2. He'd been somewhere else.
Wembley Arena.
I reckon it was Wembley Arena, yeah. And he drove us there. He hired a minibus, drove me and like six mates there, and sat outside and read his book and waited for us. That's fatherly love, that.
I'm looking forward to having a little bit of that. I haven't got it. It's such an uncomfortable piece of audio, and I don't think I've got it here.
Thinking about it, my dad spent a lot of time sitting in cars outside parties and concerts and stuff like that. That's kind of what you do when you've got teenage girls
that
in particular, I think.
Is what dads are meant to do when they've got teenage girls. Oh, hang on a minute, I've got myself all tangled up here.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
In front of all these people, really, I just don't
know. Oh, dear.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beach Boys recording Help Me Rhonda. They're the biggest band in America. Their dad turns up.
That's why I got drunk.
Are you not drunk?
All we're asking you for is
Murray.
That's him telling them how to sing Help Me Rhonda.
Syncopate a little. What are the words? Sing it.
Since you put me down, I've been out doing it in my head.
Show him how to do it just once, Dad.
That's Brian getting... Let's
please just make this end.
Since you put me down, go on that kick.
Now Al Jardine's taking the mic.
Loosen up, sweetie. Loosen up. Loosen up.
Go home, Dad,
ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole 30-minute recording of that freely available on the internet. It's making me cringe with embarrassment.
Oh, no. But not even my dad.
My dad wasn't really around for a lot, so there was not that kind of that much embarrassment. But I remember actually he wasn't around for a bit, and then when I was doing the 11 o'clock show, he wanted to come along, and I wasn't really getting on with him. And he came along, and I just remember he just sat there, and he was being loud and obnoxious. Oh, Dad, it was a Help Me Rhonda kind of moment. It was Dad, just please.
Oh,
just...
dear. But it was probably because he was proud.
I had a massive argument with him after that. I got very, very, let's say, drunk, shall we, dear listener?
Oh, blimey.
And I had a massive, massive argument with him about all kinds of shenanigans. Didn't speak to him again for years after that night. In fact, that was the night. Didn't speak to him for years. Those are the days. What I'd give to have just a 2-minute conversation.
My only embarrassing moments
now
with my dad were when I remember him turning up to pick me up from a party and him being at the front door and I was upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boily. Really, what were you up? Who were you up to?
I'd fallen into a lad's mouth and I was struggling
Sorry?
To get out.
Oh, you mean just kissing?
Yeah. Let's say that.
Flip it, heck.
Anyway, so, yeah, hearing my dad's voice and having to... I mean, how do you get... We weren't allowed boys upstairs. No. I wasn't allowed boys upstairs until I was married.
Isn't that funny? I remember...
He knew exactly what was going on.
Well, of course he did.
Because he waited
boy.
For a while and then he said... Right, tell her I'll be in the car.
Did you finish? Did you? How old were you?
probably about 17.
Oh, 17, flipping it. Well, yeah, 17 I was.
But still.
Yeah. Well, OK. Well, the first night, the night that I...
In fact, I was 15.
Well, there you go. The night I lost it, shall we say, it was, you know, I had the luxury of... I lost my virginity in a bed, in an actual bed. We had a house to ourselves for the weekend, right? It was Kerry, and it was her sister went away, and we were going to house it, right?
But of course you were.
17. Couldn't tell my mum that, of course, so I told her that I was going to go and stay at Ewan's house to do, like, A-level revision.
Wow.
And I gave her Ewan's phone number, right? But I...
Did you brief Ewan?
Right, yeah. But I then... This is how insane I was as a 17-year-old. I then changed one of the numbers, so it was the wrong number.
Oh.
What? So then she phoned up, right, Ewan... And obviously couldn't get through. So then she found out B Jams where I worked.
But you lived in the same town as you, and she could have gone round there.
Yeah. So then she found out B Jams where I worked, right? And Ewan was there when I was supposed to be at his house. And Ewan phoned me up and said, right, OK, listen, I've just spoken to your mum. I've done the best I can, but... And I had to phone my mum up and say, no, I'm at Kerry's house and I'm staying here for the night. And boy, oh boy, that's the biggest argument. And possibly, who's that heavy breathing there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, it's Katya. I've just come back from town centre. And I'm trying to find this Bruce exploitation film you were talking about.
What?
It's not working. They Exit the Dragon... Enter the.
Oh, this we were talking. Were we talking about this last week?
Yeah.
I wasn't in the UK last week, so.
I don't care about your international status.
I mean, she's been in Grantham today, out of the UK last week.
Well, very frustrating because I don't want to buy it from Amazon.
No.
I can't find it on eBay, and now I'm all over the place trying to find it. We've got a. I don't know how to pronounce it. We've got a sex.
A sex.
What?
What? You've got what?
Yeah, how do you pronounce that?
Sex.
No, C-E-X in Grantham Town Centre.
All right, yeah.
I've just put it into YouTube and it's just popped up.
No,
literally popped up, look at that.
You don't do that because YouTube, it's illegal.
No, it's not. YouTube is not illegal, Katya. No. YouTube is legal. You're allowed to go on there and if stuff's there, you can watch it.
I can't. Are you sure?
Yes.
YouTube? You think YouTube is illegal?
Yes.
you're winding me up.
No, I'm not. I mean, yes, the bits and pieces you can watch, I think.
The whole film is there. It's come up 1 hour and 18 minutes of Exit the Dragon, Enter the Tiger. Okay. Look, there it is.
Okay. Can you guarantee me if I watch it...
What?
No one will come maybe and arrest me because it's... Don't think you can do that.
No,
you know.
You can watch it, right? The person who's put it up there, they're the ones who are going to end up in a sticky situation if they get caught up with. But you watching it's fine.
It's on YouTube, Katya. A ba ba doo ba doo ba doo ba da ba doo doo. Well, since she put me down, I've been up doing in my head. I come in late at night, and in the morning I just lay in bed.
Help! travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Well, the M25 heading anti-clockwise still got a lane closed on the exit slip road. That's causing some long queues because of an accident with some recovery work there now at junction 23 for the A1M. Now at St Albans, London Road still closed and heavy around the area because of a serious police incident between the High Street and Watson's Walks. Being closed since the very early hours of this morning, so surrounding roads are likely to start getting busy. Then in Milton Keynes, the A5 queuing heavily on my sensors heading southbound between Portway and Grafton Street, and that's because of this afternoon's rugby at the Stadium MK. Mikey Pavlou, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Thank you, Mikey. That's it, Catherine. We're done. I think we got away with it again.
Well, we'll see.
This is unsustainable. You know that a suit somewhere will be brought to their attention that we're doing a show that's not about anything.
They'll have to see our scripts, won't they, at some point?
Yeah. They'll ask to see the clock drawn out with how we intend to fill each show. So what's going to be in... When I used to work at WM, the last boss would say, so what's in the show today? I go, I don't know. Let's listen and we'll both find out. Back on Monday at 6. Thank you, James. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, me. Ta-ta.
Local and vocal across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.